Welcome to Doubt Sunday School class. We thank God for bringing us once again to study His Word. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to praise and thank Thee for Thy mercy and grace in granting to us wisdom out of Thy Word that we can take hold of for life. May Thou be gracious to bless us in our study. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we shall read the two verses from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which is the theme of the book, Romans 1, 16 to 17. Let us read together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The way of being reconciled to our Creator God is in the gospel. So Paul says, therein, that is in the gospel message, is the way of salvation. The way sinful man can make right with his Creator. How precious is the gospel? We were speaking about it earlier concerning that relationship between the Father and the Son. In eternity past, even before creation began, it was a perfect, beautiful relationship. And that relationship was imparted to us when God created man. God wants us to enjoy that relationship that the Father has with the Son, so that we would be partakers of the eternal heavenly joy of that blessed relationship of the Godhead. And God wants us to find that true happiness. And that is the theme for our discussion today. John summarized it very succinctly. He says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The way to God is so important. If you don't know the way to God, then all other way leads to destruction. Jesus says, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leadeth to life. You see, when God came to His people, God came through His Son Jesus Christ. His people rejected Him. The Jews rejected Him. Even today, right, we have had our experience of sharing. How is it like that? We are told that they have been told by their parents that Jesus Christ is just a prophet. He's not God. How sad it is that the truth is distorted. That is why when, you know, Lazarus, who was in hell or who was in heaven, was spoken to by the rich man in hell. The rich man said to him, the fire of heaven is, or of hell is burning so greatly and tormenting me. Give me a little bit of water so that I can drink to relieve my thirst, the burning that is all over me. And will you also go and tell my brethren, I have five brothers who don't know the way to heaven and may end up here like me. I don't want them to go that way. And you know what Abraham said to that man? He said that your five brothers has the scriptures to tell them. If the scripture is open to them and they will not receive it, even if a man would rise from the dead in front of them, they will not believe. That is the hardness of the human heart. But if you would believe, even if you have not all the things of this world, like this, that man Lazarus who was a beggar, we said that, you know, he didn't have anything good in his life. He had to eat from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. You know how difficult it is to live that kind of a life? You're hungry and you see others eating and you're being passed over. And then what is the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? He gives it to you. Yeah. How sad it is to live his physical life like that. But he had one thing that the rich man didn't have. That is the gift of eternal life. And that is why at that last moment when he died, although he didn't have all the, you know, good things in this life. And all of us too, right? You find that in the analysis of life, all other things that we have will not help us. You know, when you lose the faculty of your body, when you lose the whole of your body, that means your consciousness. And you know that you are losing that consciousness. Is it a frightening thing? It can be. If we are not strengthened with the Spirit of God in us to know that absent in the body is present with the Lord. If we don't have that hope, if we have not the hope of eternal life, then it can be very frightening. Everything that comes before you, you know, the next thing that's going to happen to you, you're going to, you know, shudder. And you're going to be very frightened. Fear is going to overwhelm. I don't know what today will be. But that's not the life that God wants us to live. God wants us to live a life enjoying what He has given us. You know, this life that He has given us, He wants us to enjoy it. Enjoy His presence with us. And if we have understood the right value system, we have imbibed a heavenly value system, then our life will be very joyful. Our life will be very happy. So Paul writes, he tells us how to find that true happiness. And he tells us that happiness is found in the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. We said, may this gospel be preached to all that dwell upon earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Do you feel very happy if you see someone come to know the Lord? Do you have that joy within you? Why? To know that, wow, there's someone who come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That joy is not because you gain anything, you know. Right? We don't gain anything with someone coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that that person is going to enjoy great riches that we are enjoying now. You see? And you want them to enjoy it too. That is why we share. So this week's pastoral, we wrote about Marcus's father's salvation. How he wanted to take baptism. Because he says, I'm 80 years old already. And I want to be sure that whether my wife or me or my son go first, we are going to see each other in heaven. So yesterday I was waiting for Marcus to send me the photograph of the three of them. But he was warded to the hospital yesterday. So he's now in the hospital, probably listening in to us. God is sustaining him. We will get the photograph. But they are really enjoying, you know, the eternal benefits that God has imparted to them by the gospel. So here is the way to true happiness. And that is why we, you know, want to share the good news, right? Because you have enjoyed yourself. You know, we were telling the story, right? A time when we saw a little bird. We were enjoying ourselves, singing, praising God, you know, in a room, and there's a glass door, a glass window, and suddenly there was a bird that came flying, you know, it's as if to tell us, that, wow, they see our fellowship so beautiful, so nice, you know, so good. But when it come nearer, it hit the window, and we saw the bird, you know, wow, hit, smack right on to the window, and you see it slowly moving downwards. Imagine the scene. Huh? Now we said to ourselves that, you know, we enjoy all the fullness of God with all the things that He has given to us. But what are we doing with all the riches that He has given to us? We can't be just enjoying and overflowing and wasting what God has given to us. And so God gave to us that burden, right, to begin to visit people, right, to share with them the gospel, or to share with them a little bit about the life that God has blessed us with. Right? You have been blessed of God, and the Lord wants you to know that you have a great responsibility that He has entrusted to you, to share the joy that you have, to share the life that you have with God. He doesn't want you to keep it to yourself. And the more you would be willing, right, to share it, the gospel, the things that make you happy, the things of God, so that others, when they learn it, when they know it, they will also be happy. So Paul says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." How do we begin our Christian life? We begin by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He died for our sins and He rose again from the dead 3 days later. That is why, you know, when we begin Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom was crying out. Why was it crying out? Well, because we are not appropriating the wisdom that God wants for us. We are not taking hold of that happiness that God would want to impart to us. But He has it for us. So Paul wrote, this was the heart cry of the Apostle Paul when he wrote these words. He understands the reality of God's judgment in eternal hellfire upon all who die without Christ. So indeed, may all of God's children fear Him and give glory to Him and worship Him. For this is the living and true God that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Revelation 14, verse 7. The way of salvation is recorded in the Bible, the only book that God has ever written. And the Bible is the means by which God reveals Himself to us. Do you read the Bible? Do you have a copy of the Bible? And are you reading it? Well, when you read it, that is where life will come to you. We have started reading the Andrew Murray, Read the Bible in 1 Year. Reading one round is not finished. That's only your beginning. God wants you to read all the time, every year. You know, when we first bought the book, it's $6.99. Today, it is sold at $80 over. Yeah, out of stock. Out of stock. Yeah, we wanted to get some more copies. Because it's so good. Well, it was delivered from... delivered from to us from afar. Far away. Across continent. Yeah. Yeah. So 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, all of us, yeah, we brought in 90 copies. 90 copies. And all were distributed out. And we have maybe about 7 or 8 who has completed reading. Reading through. And we gave them certificates for their reading through. Yeah. Thank God. See, the Lord wants us to continue reading because that's where we find life, you see. Life with God comes with His Word, the study of His Word. And His Word is living Word, you know. Life. Life comes from the study of His Word. And so, the Bible is a very amazing book. It is the only book, the bestseller, one edition. 1,600 years, over 40 holy men. Moved by the Spirit of God, they wrote. And there they find salvation. And this is the greatest and highest happiness that man can ever find by believing wholeheartedly in the message from God as recorded in the Bible. In it, we find salvation, and in it is life. You remember the chorus? Keep on believing. Right? Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night is well as the day. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we keep faith, that's the meaning of living from faith to faith. Keep on believing that God is with you. Jesus is near you. Who is Jesus? As we said earlier, He's the one who placed the earth right at the right distance from the sun so that we don't get chilled or get burned up. He has that power. He was the man who caused the blind to see. Remember? He took the mud, put it in his spittle, and applied to the man's eye, and then asked him to go to the pool and wash. And the man, he was blind. And now he could see again. And remember there was a storm? And Jesus said, "Be still." The storm stopped. This is the Jesus who is able to keep you. There is nothing to fear if you have Him with you as the captain of your boat of life. Where you are sailing to, if you have Jesus as your captain, you can be assured that you will arrive safely home. You know, we are all on that journey, yeah? And we know that we would arrive at our final destination. But in that journey, God tells us that, you know, you are a child of God. He will protect you. From faith to faith, you follow Him daily. He will bring you to that journey's end. Imagine you're on a cruise. And The pilot was set. You are going from this destination to that destination. And while you're on the cruise, you can do anything there, but you cannot, well, you cannot get to your destination jumping out, right? But you are on that way to that destination. You do this and you do that and you do this, all within the confines of your cruise ship. We are in that journey. We are reaching our final destination. Right. So Paul says that we are living from faith to faith, believing in God. Right. And the Lord wants us to renew our trust in Him this day. And every day, to keep on believing that Jesus is near, that He is with you to help you. Do you feel sad? Jesus is able to give you joy in your heart. Jesus is the joy of living. The Lord wants you to know Him and take hold of Him. It's a relationship that God imparts to us. And how can we receive it? By faith. By believing who He is and commit yourself to Him. Remember our choir was singing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Yeah. And the earth, things of earth will grow strangely dim. Why, when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, when you start to pray and to bring your petitions to God, He gives you a strength in your heart. Although your problem may not be solved, you know. Things are not, you know, you don't see any light yet in the tunnel. But you have strength to be where you are now. You know. Because you know that your God will see you through. You have that faith to believe that He will help you. Right? We take hold of His covenant promises, the promises of God, that He will help. If you are a family man, you know that He will help you and your family. Between the husband and the wife, will He not help? Of course He will help. It is His covenant. He will help. He will do things well for you, if you would trust Him and keep doing what He wants you to do. Do the right thing. Seek Him. God never fails. And He never will. And He wants us to believe it. So Paul says, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God. What do you mean by the righteousness of God? How to be right with God? How can sinful man be right with God? Sinful man can be right with God through Jesus Christ. Through the gospel. You see, the righteousness of God that comes by faith, by believing that God had, by His Son, bore our sins. You see, as we were saying, how Israel was brought out of Egypt, God gave them the law to show them their sins. And then God gave them the tabernacle to show them, you know, the tabernacle is Jesus Christ, basically, right? To show them how they can make right with God. They have to bring their sacrifices to God, right? For their atonement, for their sins. So there are those who say, what sin? No. What is sin? Don't talk to me about that. There are those who have no understanding of morality. And anything that is good, anything that is advantageous, that is it. That's why it's frightening, right? To live with or to know, to be around such people. Because there's no limits to what they can do. There is no fear of God in their hearts. It's a very frightening prospect. But we who have known God, have the fear of God in our heart, we know that men may not see, but God sees, and God will judge. And when God judges, it's frightening. It's frightening. So, the Lord wants us to understand, and Paul tells us that his motto in life is to live by faith. Right? How to find happiness? Live by faith. Keep on believing. Right? That the Lord is with you. Can you believe that? Can you take hold of that? Paul says, the book of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Substance is something that you describe as something you can take hold of, right? And yet it is a substance that is described as not seen. That is faith. By it, the heavens are framed. Right? We have been told in Proverbs chapter 8 today, how God made the world. The substance of things not seen. That is faith. When Noah was told that there is going to be a global flood that would destroy the whole world, and he was told to build the ark, what did he do? For more than 100 years, he began one of the greatest building projects, to build the ark. And then he would tell the people, as what God told him, there is a flood coming. The world is going to be destroyed. He was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says that he, by grace, he understood. By faith, he understood. God tells you, you believe it. I believe, therefore I understand. This is the Christian mindset. I believe, therefore I understand. Not, I understand, therefore I believe. God won't give you explanation. God don't have to give you any explanation. He just tells you that this is how he created 6 literal days. We are made in the image of God. We are the only people that can appreciate his creation. You take it by faith, you believe it, and you realize that it's true. God does not lie, you see. And so the Lord wants you to take hold of this faith. And this faith is not something fuzzy. Okay? It is the substance of things written in his word. 66 books, God described himself and his relationship with sinful men. His relationship with sanctified men. God wants you to take hold of that relationship. So, how to find true happiness? Well, live by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his word. Faith in the promises of his word. Romans 1 verse 16 to 17. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteousness of the believer is a gift from God, and it is appropriated by faith. How can we be right with God? Well, when the two thieves were hanging beside Jesus, one of them said, this is the Son of God. Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. But the other one who was unbelieving, what happens? Well, he would die in his sins, facing the judgment of God. Frightening. Right? But the one who believed, that is faith, and God wants you to believe. So, Romans 1, 16 to 17 are the key verses that summarize this epistle. How to live by faith? What does it mean to live by faith? This is what the book of Romans is teaching us. From faith to faith. It begins with faith. It continues in faith. And it ends with faith. From beginning to end. God wants you to believe. To believe in His Word. To believe what He tells you. And to be willing to follow Him. To be willing to obey. You remember the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Sometimes you sing with a sense of melancholy. In the sense that, you know, there can be an inkling of sentiment of Lot's wife within us. To still desire the world. Right? But no. Okay, the Lord says no. Okay, no turning back. Why? You're going to heaven. Why do you want to turn back? Where's the way back? That's the way back is to hell. Well, did Proverbs 8 not tell us He gives you durable riches? Right? Your money will perish. It is really not durable. Right? It will be corrupted. You will lose it. But the durable riches that God gives you when you take your last breath, you know all the things that you cannot carry with you. Right? Is it useful for you? Not useful, right? You leave it behind, what happened? Your descendants will squabble over it. Right? Never fail. Right? You see lawsuit after lawsuit. Dispute after dispute. Right? That's the fallenness of man, you see. The greediness that is in man. And God wants us to rid ourselves of that kind of a heart, you see. That greedy heart. God, once we have to, you know, the Lord says that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. That means, you know, to be greedy is like a God that is within you, you know. A God, it becomes your God. So, Paul says, no, don't let it become your God. Covetousness is idolatry. And the Lord tells us it's better to follow Him. He gives you riches. You take it and you ask Him what He wants you to do with it. He does not give you, He will give you enough. So that you will always be taken care of. Right? He described the birds, the lily in the field. God takes care of them. God takes care of you. And that's the amazing fact of faith that we need to take hold of. You see, sometimes we use our own thinking and said we must do this and do this. Then, you know, we would be well. But if we don't do this and do this, then it seemed that we are not that well. Well, seek what God wants you to do. If you are doing that which God wants you to do, then you would be well. Seek the will of God. Seek the purpose of God. And God's will is always found in His Word. He show you the way. He never lead you blindly, you know. That is the life of faith. Albert B. Simpson, he said very well. The epistle to the Romans is the greatest of Paul's epistle. After the book of Acts, the first epistle is the book of Romans. It is the most compact system of theology in existence. 7,000 over words. Now, one of the longest letter in the ancient world. In fact, the longest letter in the ancient world. Right. 7,000 over words, the book of Romans, that Paul wrote. Right. Normal letter, the other letters that he wrote, the prison epistles, less than 2,000 words. But this is 7,000 words. Its grand theme is the gospel of Christ, of which the apostle declares in introducing this epistle that he is not ashamed, and of which the whole epistle is a beautiful, logical, and deeply spiritual unfolding of that life with God. God wants you to live that life, and He's showing you how that life looks like. Right, you want to live by faith? How to live by faith? Paul writes to share that faith. It may also be called the thesis on the life of faith in its successive stages, as he himself expressed it, by faith from the first to the last. That's what it means, from faith to faith. To live by faith from the first to the last. You begin by faith. Right? We said, I believe, therefore I understand. Not I understand, therefore I believe. I believe what God says and I act on it. That's why, you know, after Noah built the ark, what happened? God asked him to board the ship and then close the door, and then the rain started to fall. Pitter patter, pitter patter. And the rain came and the whole earth was engulfed. All who were not inside the ark were perished. And the Lord is saying to us that a time of judgment is coming again. And this time, the earth will be judged by fire. And the only way out is up. The rapture, when Jesus Christ returns, take us all to heaven. That's the only way to get out of a inferno, a furnace, a burning furnace. And the Lord wants you to know that. And to live in the light of what is going to come. Jesus says, this gospel shall be preached to the end of the earth, and the end shall come. Has the gospel reached the end of the earth? I believe the gospel has reached the end of the earth. And the end is near. Christ is coming soon. Right? Today, you see, the day of Sodom and Gomorrah has dawned upon Singapore. Right? 377A, section 377A. Men sought to repeal it. What is that? That's God's law, you know. If you repeal God's law, what will you have? You will have God's judgment. What happened after Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah? There rained fire and brimstone from heaven. The entire city was burned up. Do you want Singapore to be a partaker of this judgment? Well, we said that we cannot escape. When God will finally judge, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that all the islands will fled away. Singapore is an island. It will be taken out. Taken out. You don't have a permanent home here in Singapore. You may buy your freehold property. You think that your freehold property will last you a lifetime. Yeah, it can last you a lifetime, beyond your lifetime. But the earth is not freehold. The island that God, that you have here is not freehold, you see. God is going to destroy it. So then, if you set your affection on it, you build your life trying to preserve it. In order to get a freehold property, you probably have to slog for the rest of your life to own it. Is that the life that you want, God wants you to live? Well, it doesn't mean that, we do not do so. The wisdom of God is this, that, you know, He will take care of you. And, you know that owning a freehold property is has more value than owning a 99-year property, right? Well, that's the world's wisdom. Well, that's a wisdom that God can give to us also. While we are here on earth, we have a duty to our family. We have a duty to the people around us. You need a roof under your head. And so God will direct you, whether it's this property or that property, you pray and ask God to give you a home that He wants you to have. And be contented to what He would give you. So, we said, first, there is a faith that saves us. Is described for us in this book, in the first few chapters. And in the third, fourth, and fifth, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and next, there is a faith that sanctifies us. Chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. Faith that saves us. Save us from what? Save us from our sins. You see? Then he's going to describe about sin, right? From verse 18 onwards. He tells us what is sin. Right? And he tells us that there is none righteous. All of us are sinners. All of us are ready for judgment. And that's a truth that God wants you to know. If you know that you're going to be judged of God, then you want to find a way out. What is the solution? Okay. And then to have the faith to consecrate us to the service of God in the closing chapters of this precious epistle, right? Albert B. Simpson. It reveals to us the successive stages from faith to faith. The same faith that saves you, then rightly applied, will sanctify you and will also bring you the power of the Holy Ghost with all the fullness of a consecrated life. So that's why, you know, we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Why is it that God would want us to take up the cross, deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Him? Not our own pleasure anymore, but with Him, the Lord promises us His pleasure forevermore. You see? So, He tells us that He is said to bless us with His presence, bless us with His treasures, bless us with all that He would give to us for our enjoyment, and He wants us to appropriate it. How can we appropriate it? By faith. Okay? It is a little level which God puts into your hand and which will lift you up above all that harms and hinders into all the fullness of His great salvation. He further elaborated the five themes that undergird the overarching theme, which is the gospel of Christ. What is it? Sin chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Okay, so 16 and 17, he gives us the theme. Right? Then from verse 18 to of chapter 1 to verse 20 of chapter 3, he tells us about sin. And then he tells us about salvation, verse 21 of chapter 3 to verse 21 of chapter 5. And then sanctification. After we are saved, how can we walk this Christian life? To draw closer and closer to God, our sanctification, our purification. And this will come with trials. This will come with temptations. Right? Every day you face trials, right? Many testings. You face many temptations. Why does God give you all the testings and the temptations? Every day, to draw you closer to Him. Why does God give us sickness? Why does God give to us challenges in our careers? To draw us closer to Him. To help us to see that we need Him. To help us to call upon Him and to see His glory fulfilling our prayers. The coming of the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 11, verse 36. And consecration. Chapter 12, verse 1 to chapter 16, verse 27. Our consecration, our sanctification, then our service for Him. We are saved to serve. God wants us to be counted for Him, for His kingdom. God wants you to be useful for Him in all that you are doing. Indeed, we are blessed with insight to understand who we really are and God's intended purpose for our lives. Our life finds its meaning in the pages of this epistle. May we take time to study this book so that our spiritual life will be enriched forever. This was the book that Martin Luther, the reformer, studied. He studied it in the Greek, and it transformed his life. The just shall live by faith. That gave him the courage to nail his 95 theses on the castle door of Wittenberg in 1517. Last year, we commemorated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in any other thing. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray and ask that Thou would bless Thy word to our hearts, that we may be strengthened to live for You this new week. Lord, help us. We need Thee. Lord, give us faith to keep believing and help us to understand that Jesus is ever near us. To help us, we can call upon Him. May Thou help us to call upon You. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.